If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, when I was a lot younger, the rage was books like The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey and things like that. And the whole theory was that there was going to be a secret rapture at the second coming. And that rapture was going to take the Christians out of the world, and it was going to be either at the beginning of the tribulation period of 7 years, or it was going to be in the middle of the tribulation period, or it was going to be at the end of the tribulation period. Well, I considered all that at the time, and one time I was reading 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and it just really struck me that 1 and 2 Thessalonians, when taken together, present a single happening as the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and not a split up series of events like these other people were presenting. So I'd like to present this to you this afternoon, see what you think about it. This is certainly nothing for any of us to get mad at each other about or lose fellowship with each other. It's just a detail. But I think it's interesting. I think it's important for us to know as much as we can about the second coming. And so let's just consider this for a few minutes. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he probably wrote these letters from Corinth, because Silas and Timothy were with him in Corinth, and you can see at the beginning of the letter, it's presented as from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. It was probably written about AD 50 or 51. It was one of the earliest letters, except for maybe Galatians was written before it. And he wrote it after he received a report from Timothy about the congregation. It was during the second missionary tour, and he had come to Thessalonica from Philippi, as explained in Acts 17, 1 through 10. So that's the background. And there is a rich vein of teaching throughout these two letters about the last days. And Paul was wanting to get across to them what it was going to be like in the last days. He mentions the day of the Lord, and he mentions that some people had been saying that it had already happened. And so one of the main things he's saying to them is, don't get all excited by these people who are saying the day of the Lord has already occurred. It hasn't occurred. There's got to be two things to happen first. You've got to have the apostasy, the great falling away, and you've got to have the man of sin appear, the Antichrist, on the scene before the Lord comes back again. So don't be thinking that it's already happened. But what I think he's describing in these two letters is a single event that's going to happen. Other passages, of course, describe the second coming. They're very important passages that must go along with this. Matthew 24 and Revelation 19 and 20. We're not going to talk about those today, but they have to all be taken together. All right, let's go through 1 Thessalonians very quickly and look at the verses that describe the second coming. Then we'll go through 2 Thessalonians the same way. And you can come to the same conclusion I have or not, that this is all a single event at a single event in time. Chapter 1, verse 10 is where he first mentions. He had mentioned in verse 9 that he was so glad the fact that they have turned from idols to serve the living God. And then in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So there's the first mention of the second coming. Now chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now this uses the word parousia for coming. It means coming, arrival, or presence. And it's used throughout the New Testament for the Lord's second coming, parousia. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. All right. As we go through these verses, let's add to the characteristics of his second coming, the things that are going to be happening at the same time that he comes. And one of them is that he's going to come with all his saints. So just remember that one. Now, chapter 4 is the one that really defines, it's the definitive text on the second coming that so many people look to. Let's look at verses 13 through 18 in chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as the others which have no hope. So here's the context of what he's going to be saying. He doesn't want them to worry about those who have already died, that something weird or strange is going to happen to them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Remember that. We'll come back to it in a second. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. All right, let's look at these verses. He's saying that the ones having slept in Jesus, God's going to bring with him at the second coming of Christ. And that the ones who are alive, us, say, won't beat out the others to meet Christ. We are not going to precede the ones who are dead in meeting Christ. Well, what do those theories say except that we're going to precede the others to meet Christ, the secret rapture, that would happen first and then years later, the rest? So, one thing to keep in mind is that he's saying this is all one big event. We're not going to precede those who have fallen asleep already. And what does he say is going to happen in verse 16? Three things are going to happen when the Lord comes. A shout, this is the word kalusma, a shout of command. Number two, the voice of the archangel. And number three, the trump or trumpet of God. Now, that is very significant. That's one of the things that really clicked in my mind when I was reading this so long ago, is how many trumpets of God are you going to have? This is happening when the people are being raised, are being caught up to meet him. This is the rapture, and it's got with it the trumpet of God. And that's the final note, is the trumpet of God. It's all through the Old Testament, the sounding of the trumpet. So, this is one single event. The dead in Christ shall rise first, yes, in that moment of time, not years before, but in that moment of time, the dead will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. All right, we can follow this. First, the first event is that the dead in Christ rise. Then we who are alive come with them, and we meet the Lord in the air as he's coming down to the earth. It's not like we meet him in the air and we go away somewhere for 3.5 or 7 years. It's all part of the second coming. The word for rapture is a good Greek word. It's harpazo. It means to take by force. It means to seize suddenly, to take by force, to take away, to carry off, to catch up. And that's where we do get the word, the rapture. And that's, I don't think there's any problem with that word in itself. Let's look at a few other uses of harpazo in a few other scriptures. Look at Matthew 11:12. These are all the same Greek word. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's this harpazo word. That's the first one. Then Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. Catches away, or seizes, or grabs. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, go to John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which has given me, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's the same word, arpazo. So it's a kind of a rapid and violent season. So, when it is time for the second coming, the Christians are going to be seized, going to be grabbed up into the air, to meet the Lord. Then there is this word used in Acts 8:39. I can just read these to you. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip himself was raptured, was caught up. And then 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, so forth. So Paul was caught up in that special experience he had. And Jude 23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So we're supposed to yank others out of the fire. And finally, Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So there's the idea of what's going to happen. In Matthew 24:40-41, let's look there. Matthew 24 is a great passage where the Lord himself told what was going to be happening in the second coming. In verses 40-41, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. So there is, now that doesn't use this particular word, but it's describing the same kind of event. It's still in the context, though, of a single event. In chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 31, it says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's that trumpet again. So it's got to be the same event that's being described in 1 Thessalonians, right? There's not two last trumpets. And then in verse 36 of that chapter, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That day. Not those days, that day. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of final judgment. This is the day talked about all through the Old Testament. Of the second coming and of judgment. All right, one more verse in 1 Thessalonians, then we'll go to 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord. All right. It's used throughout the Old Testament. We won't turn there, but in verses like Isaiah 13:6-9, in Joel 1:15, in Joel 2:1, which mentions the trumpet, In Zechariah 14:1 and Malachi 4:5, these are all talking about the great day of the Lord. The thing the Old Testament saints looked to in the future that was going to be the end of the world and the judgment time. All right, now 2 Thessalonians. Now this is a different letter to the Thessalonians, but it's still the same people, and he's just continuing on with some of the same thoughts. And one of his main thoughts is the second coming. Look in chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Now he's going to be shifting more towards not the exact events of the snatching up of the Christians and the rising of the dead, but he's going to be talking more about the judgment of the lost, because these Thessalonians were being mistreated, and he wants them to know that the people that are mistreating them are going to get their judgment. So in verses 6 through 10, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because their testimony among you was believed in that day. In that day. So, he's talking about when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And he's talking about that day. Finally, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So it hasn't happened yet. You know all those bumper stickers that were popular back that said, you know, if you see this car crash and there's no driver, I've been raptured. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen that way. But anyway, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by one gathering together unto him at that day. It's also going to be the day of judgment. And he describes the tribulation in Matthew 24. It's got to happen. So, just in my simple mind, it just seems to me that there's a single second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things are going to happen at that time. And there's not a second coming and then a third coming. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a single second coming where the dead in Christ and us who remain, if we're in that age now, are all meet the Lord in the air together. And then as he's coming down to earth, and then he sets up the judgment at least of the saints. Now you get into another part of interpretation that we won't talk about today. I'm not qualified to talk about it anyway. And that is whether there is a split judgment with 1,000 years in between or whether there's not. But what I'm talking about today is just that single second coming of Christ. The dead in Christ are raised, the ones remaining are caught up, and Christ descends. That's described in Revelation 19 in a vivid description of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Of the judgment, either two parts or one, of the Antichrist being destroyed and chained for 1,000 years in Revelation 20 in the bottomless pit, and so forth.